Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, music is not working. Talk with the cast of played by Mary D. Brooks called Mabel of the Anzacs, and it's based on her novel, which is about a woman that was a nurse during World War I and a little battle that she has with Zoe from Zoe's Promise and Witchy Night. And what I have with me is the wonderful cast. We have Ariel Strauss. Say hi, Ariel.
Hi. Hello.
She plays Zoe. Janae Ray Spano. Say hi, Janae.
Hi.
She plays Eva. Jen Gray. Hello, Jen. Jen is temporarily unavailable. Raymond Brandt.
Hello there.
He plays Henry. Everett Robert.
Hello.
He plays Earl. Liz Elliott.
Hello.
Hi, Liz. He plays Nina. Ah, there's Jen. A little late. Jen plays Elena. And Sean Ritter.
Hello.
And he's our narrator. And I play Mabel. And I'm playing an 80-year-old. welcome cast. Welcome to the show. Let's start with general opinion of the play. Anybody? Ariel?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, this is number 3, I think, of all the radio plays that Mary D. has done, and I think this one is a lot of fun. It's definitely very heated and emotional, but there are some, like, fun, jokey moments in there as well.
Yeah, it goes both ways. It gets you
going.
Zip, zip. You don't know where you're going to be next second in the play, and that's, like, one of my favorite types of a play.
Yeah, and there's also some deeply deepic moments in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For all of us lovelorn souls out there.
Very sexy. what about everybody else? Anybody else have any opinions? Today?
Were we supposed to read the play, Sherry?
Very
yes,
funny.
This is definitely
I enjoy a lot of the Greek references.
I will say that the characters are vivid in this, but I think they've surpassed what the originals were. I mean, the original stories. And I believe that's what I was wanting to say.
Okay.
That, in the original, the first two, I think the characterizations, the characters have been expanded much more than what they were in Witchy Night and Zoe's Promise.
Well, we also have to remember that this is a prequel. You know, it takes place
before.
Before both of the other ones.
Who's talking?
That was me, Janae.
Oh, what were you gonna
say? I said there's
That is definitely a prequel. I believe the other one was too, wasn't it?
The other one was not. You mean Zoe's Promise? No, that was prequel. That was just referring to stuff that happened before, but it was in the same time period.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so why don't we go on to talking about each individual part. Why don't we start with Arielle? It's her first time playing Zoe. How are you enjoying it? What do you think?
Well, it's definitely different than playing the narrator. It's a whole other accent, which I'm not sure I quite mastered yet, but I'm working on it. It'll be solid by round two. I really, really like Zoe. I mean, I've liked her from the books, but I like getting to know her as an actor, for sure. She's super passionate. She's got no filter. She's way more opinionated than I gave her credit for. Once she encounters Mabel, like, she already forms an opinion about her, like, without even knowing her. And it's kind of a battle of wills at first, but we'll see what happens in the next one.
Yeah, this is a two-part play. The first part is coming up next week, and the second part will be next season. So it's sort of like being a Sherlock fan, and you have to wait for the next Sherlock or or Doctor Who. You have to wait till next, like that.
And yeah, she's just very emotional.
We have actually a couple of sequels. We have Zoe's Promise, and we'll have a sequel to Joe Cronus, too. So it's going to be an interesting season.
Yay.
Okay, Janae, you're reprising your character. Playing her younger, do you see any difference?
Let's see. There is a slight difference, yeah, because she does seem to be, the lions are a little more timid with other people. So definitely by Widgie, she's got some backbone there because she's not quite so, she has more trouble taking on strangers.
Well, I think that she, except for in the scenes, Henry and Earl.
But that Henry, she's known since Greece, so she has already a period. She's already formed that bond with him. So
that's why she's very comfortable with Henry.
Yeah.
Same time she met Ava.
Yeah.
Ava met Zoe?
Yeah.
Right. Well, Zoe and Eva, Henry was basically a bodyguard for Eva. And that he was a protector of Eva. And that's how that relationship, and when the relationship between Eva and Zoe came about, Henry was there from the very beginning. So that is the relationship. That's how Henry and Zoe have that on again, off again banter.
Yeah, I mean, the three of you went through hell.
Right.
Okay, so let's bring on our new member. Liz, what do you think?
About the whole play.
and your part.
It's interesting. I love the mix of characters. I think that Lena is, Lena's kind of this nosy, overbearing neighbor who has very strong opinions, but I think she actually really cares about Mabel. and is trying to, you know, get her to do the right thing, and she's just very opinionated and thinks that the right thing is to be, is to just cut her off, you know, just cut these young girls off. And I don't know, I think she's sort of prejudiced against Germans and young people and everybody, but everybody who isn't her and Mabel. So.
Yeah, she's got a few opinions that are a little, like, Mabel is much more open, and Lena is more like, nope, she's closed for business.
Yeah, yeah, she really is.
Are you enjoying working with the cast and doing a radio show?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's fun.
It's different, though, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've done stuff like this before, but not with you guys, so I get to do it with you.
And last but not least, another new person, Sean Ritter, who's our narrator. Hi, Sean. What do you think of the play, and are you enjoying narrating?
I think the play is great, and yeah, actually, narrating's been a lot of fun. I've never been a narrator before, but it's interesting.
The narrator in radio shows are a character, even though you don't have a character.
Oh, yeah.
You don't. It's a definite character, so you are playing a part, even though.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Doing
the radio plays, it's different.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you enjoy doing it on the radio, just using your voice?
I do, yeah, actually. I'm so used to doing everything, you know, on camera. It's nice to be able to just focus on just the voice aspect of it.
I think it's a whole different muscle.
It is, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, and it's important, obviously, you know, to have good diction and all that when you're acting on screen, but it's when it's only your voice, and that's all that's coming across. I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
Oh.
New.
And are you enjoying working with us and the cast and getting to know our little radio art family?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think everybody's doing a great job. Everybody's been great, really friendly. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to do it again.
Oh, yeah, well, you're going to, because the second part's in April.
Okay, good. So I must be doing okay, because otherwise I wouldn't hear that. We're doing the second part, but you won't be getting a call. Good. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not like that. I'm pretty darn loyal, so you don't have to worry about that.
This is like my sixth or seventh show, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is
Of the group, I guess Everett, you've been with the longest, right?
Yeah, since the first season. I was in the third show of the first season.
So how do you feel the old man of the group? I'm the old woman of the group, so.
What was that?
How do you feel as the old man of the group, you know, as a counterpart to me being the old woman of the group?
I think it's, you know, this is always a fun experience to exercise some acting muscles that I don't always get to do, whether I'm, you know, on stage or writing or something like that. This is a different acting experience and always one that's fun.
And some of our plays. He's also a playwright, so he's actually staged some of the plays afterwards on stage, so he's very talented.
This is, in a way, this is like acting with a mask on, except you don't have that mask visible to your audience.
Yeah, and you get to play anything. It doesn't matter what your favorite part.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be cast as Mabel.
Well, some of the roles that I played, I definitely would not be cast as, because of it's sort of like there was an actor by the name of William Conrad who had originated a role on radio back in the 40s. And then when it went to TV, he was not right for the role. And it went to another actor. He didn't. But sometimes the physical form of an actor on radio doesn't correspond with the physical that you would see. It's sort of like reading a book, and then suddenly that character comes to life on TV, and you're going, wait a minute, this isn't the same character. This isn't the same as I visioned. So, yeah. And
from what I understand, the guy who did The Shadow back in the 30s was a small little kind of nebbish kind of guy, but he had that big, wonderful, round voice with a weird, wild laugh. You would never have pictured him as the same person.
Right. Well, the actor I was referring to was William Conrad, and William Conrad was a large man, and the role was Matt Dillon in the radio drama Gunsmoke. As everybody knows, that it eventually went to James Arness, but Conrad was definitely not Matt Dillon. Visually.
He played with Canon, right?
He was Canon, yes.
Yeah, his series was Canon. That's the TV series he eventually was in.
He also did one called Jake and the Fat Man.
Yep.
Yeah,
he was a good actor. I liked him.
Oh, definitely. He spent a lot of time directing. But yes, he was a good actor.
Okay, my next question is, now, this play takes place way back in the 1940s. What do you think of the era it's in, and does it make a difference in your portrayal of the character?
I would have to say, in my, what I'm thinking is that I have to put myself into Henry's shoes and Henry's boots, and it does make a difference in the acting and the character, simply because of what has transpired and where Henry had come from. He had gone through the war, had been a protector of Eva, and he's still in that mode of mental state of confrontational in some aspect of life. He's having to reevaluate his whole life. But boy, am I going off into a weird area. But it did make a difference, because you have to look at what the history is and how it shapes around that.
No, I mean, it's part of making... Actors are supposed to do homework. They're supposed to understand their character and work and read and figure things out. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Ariel, how about you and Janae and, well, everybody, anybody else that feels that?
I don't think it's so much the time period that really affects how I'm functioning in the story. I think it's more the situation where they've just escaped war-torn Greece, and they're pretty much, they're not just immigrants, they're like refugees. And they're trying to make it in this completely foreign world. And all of a sudden they've got this crazy old lady ranting and like threatening their peace and their security. So I think that affects my character emotionally the most.
I understand that. I think it's really interesting because you said that they just got through a war. War never leaves us. Humans are always having wars. But the devastation that stupidity brings to everyone, that is the drama. And So I think that's what you're talking about, that you're playing.
Right, like, unfortunately, it's still relevant. Like, we have to still keep telling these stories.
About refugees and immigration and people that, if you go back, you'd be killed. It's so important. And Mary captures it really beautifully because there's some passages in there that makes me cry. The part you have, Ariel, about Larissa, makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Anybody else have any feelings about, you know, the period that it is, or that about the what it's about? Anyone?
I know Lena's kind of cold and prejudiced, but she's probably, that was, I think, pretty typical in those days, that people especially had prejudices against Germans, with the Nazis rising and, but I people weren't as liberal and as open as they were back then. And I think she probably was more the norm rather than an exception to the rule. So
I agree. And you got to remember, they just got out of the war. The war just, it's 47, I believe. So it's not much of a separation between the war and the period that we're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah, there's, and especially, and, you know, not being scared and not trusting people that are German, even if they're German Jews and they don't really understand that they're German Jews.
Yeah.
They're just German. They have a German accent. That's all I know.
Right.
It's the blaming of, well, here in the States, we had the internment camps for the Japanese during the war, and people didn't, they would look at the Japanese and go, they are my enemy because they look different, and that is, or they sound different, and that runs rampant even today.
It's really sad. And sorry, we're in the 21st century. We're supposed to be beyond that, but it's just as relevant.
Definitely just as relevant, especially with things that are going on.
Unfortunately, it's been going on for centuries, and you don't change things like this overnight, which would be nice if you could.
One of the reasons why art, like theater, is so important. It brings these aspects out in an entertaining way that people can swallow. Somebody like Mel Brooks makes fun of everything, but it's to teach. Right. It's also to
or as Rod Serling did during the Twilight Zone. He wrote about relevant things. Gene Roddenberry did that with Star Trek.
Yep.
But it was set in a science fiction concept or a fantasy concept that people didn't know what they were. They didn't know. They didn't realize what they were looking at. The ones that already there.
Did you ever hear Gene talk about that? That he goes, every time he wanted to put something controversial, he just put a skimpy outfit on Uhura or Janice Rand, or he took off Kirk's shirt, and the censors went nuts, and they didn't pay any attention to the content.
I hadn't heard that, no.
Sounds about right.
But makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, he talked about that. He said, "Yeah, they got around it. That's one way to do it. They don't. They're too worried about the sexuality that they don't even notice the intellectual stuff." funny. But, you know, right, he knew what he was doing. What were you going to say, Ray?
No, I was thinking about a conversation I had with a young man this afternoon, and he was trying to convince me that he was talking about Never Never Land. And I inquired if he knew who lived there, and he started talking about Tarzan being there. I mean, he was inferring that Tarzan was there. And it's a matter of those people, the ones that didn't understand what was going on and still enjoyed it because, you know, it drove them nuts that it was happening, but they didn't quite grasp that they were being had. And this young man just went on and dug himself deeper, and every time he'd say something, he went further into that hole that he had dug for himself by starting out with Never Never Land and not realizing Peter Pan was in Never Never Land.
Tarzan.
Yeah. And I asked him how you got to Never Never Land, and he gave me another wild thing. And that just didn't quite add up. So, yeah. Ultimately, I left him standing there looking, huh? Yeah.
Okay, that's really odd.
It was. But it's knowing the territory. It's like Henry Hill and
Music Man.
And Music Man, yeah. I was having a senior moment here.
You got to know the territory.
Got to go know the territory, and this kid didn't. So.
That's funny.
It's Harold Hill, by the way, not Henry Hill.
Thank you, Robert. And the thing is, I've done the play, and anyway.
Well, I kind of figured out what he was saying because he said about the territory and Hill, and I wasn't going to correct him on air, but Everett did.
Thank you, Everett. I knew it wasn't right when I said it, but I wasn't going to go there.
Okay. Yeah. So I want, we have 15 minutes. I want you guys to tell everybody, and anybody can talk, why you should listen to this and why you should tune in next year to the second part because it's even better. But you tell them in your own words. Anybody.
This is a really fun installment of the stories of Zoe and Ava in Australia. There's, like we said before, there's funny parts. There's really passionate parts. It's just a good, solid story. So please tune in and hear another chapter in their lives.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of backstory in this one that gets explained. So if you have read the other ones, you kind of need to listen to this one to get all the info. And if you haven't heard the other ones, please go listen to them before Saturday. And then I feel like you'll have a better understanding of where we'll be at.
Yeah, I agree. Anyone else?
I agree with everything that you've said. There's also, it is relevant even today. Regardless of time period, these things that are going on in this story are still going on today all over the world. And you have to look at it and listen to it and say, do I really want to be like that, or can I change? And this is the elements of this story, is you have to step back and look at the people and find out what's inside and not what they look like or what preconceptions they have of things. It's relevant. And
absolutely.
That's it.
Anyone else?
Well, I would just say if you don't appreciate a good story, a good romance, a good tale, a great message, then don't even bother turning in. But if you do like all that, then do tune in.
Okay.
Sure. Solid. You summed it up there.
Solid. Anyone else? Okay. Well, the show is going to be on.
I think I made everyone speechless.
Yeah, you did. You left everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You said it
I
all.
Do.
The show is going to be on December 15th at 8 o'clock. And I do have a little announcement that the playwright author doesn't know. And I know she's listening. And I know she's at work. So this is going to make her a little crazy. But Mary D. Brooks has won this year's Playwright Contributor of the Year award.
What?
Bravo. Bravo.
Wow. Congrats.
So, everybody, say, yay, Mary!
Yay, Mary!
Hail
Mary!
She gets a little chatty, and I can't for the play and her contribution and how wonderful she is as a consultant and contributor. And Everett's won, so he knows that it is, I don't give this to everyone. It's special. So congrats, Mary. Anybody want to say anything else to Mary? Because I know she'll listen.
Keep writing them, Mary.
Keep up the good.
I'm having fun playing your character.
Work. They have ways of making you proud.
There's too much to say to Mary. Thank you would be the biggest one.
That is definite.
The other thing I want to say is a little pitch. This is for anybody who's an actor or a playwright who would like to take part in Sherry's Playhouse next year. Please message me through Facebook, Sherry's Playhouse, and we'll talk and we'll see what happens. It's pretty easy. I don't do the fifth degree. I'll either read your play or listen to your audition tape, and that's it. You guys have all done it. Do you think it's easy or hard getting on the show?
Ray better say it's easy because I know how he got his first job. On
right.
For this.
I had people speaking out for me too. So yes, for me it was easy, although this role right here was one I had to work for. So yes, think of the opportunity of being able to act, to be able to perform with this level of performers and go, this is like heaven. The quality of the level, the quality of performers I've worked with, it's unmatchable. Really. There's days I go, I'm not worthy to work with these people. Oh, but
we do.
I so have.
Amazing actors, absolutely. Just, and playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
Just And every play that's on this show is an original. Everybody writes for this play. Then they take it and they do whatever they will with it. But every show is an original. And also, you have an opportunity.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say you have an opportunity to direct your play. I give every playwright that opportunity. Not every playwright takes it, but I do give every playwright the opportunity.
As an actor, it's an opportunity to create a role that has never been done before.
Yeah.
And that's,
right, and
yeah,
even,
that's a big thing.
Originating a role, you can't do that with time-tested scripts. But this is an opportunity to make your mark, and I love it.
You're wonderful, Ray. Anybody else have anything that they want to contribute to that?
I'll second a good portion. I mean, these are new plays. It's really exciting to be part of something new. I came on board to Sherry's Playhouse my first time playing Ava. I had to practice an accent. Had to give me a sample, and I had to practice it because I love playing with accents. So this is a challenging character for me because this isn't an accent that I've practiced for years. But I think I'm getting the hang of it after three plays.
Was given the practice that was given to her was one of the reasons Mary won the award was she actually helped me a lot. So that was one of the things. She gave everybody accents. She gives pronunciations of words. She creates the poster. She created a little short film. She's just so creative. And you get to do that. You don't get that opportunity unless you do your own playhouse, like Everett did. He has his own playhouse, too. I got to give him a plug.
It's on hiatus right now, but, you know.
He does his own plays. But, yeah. So, well, you know, everybody has their own talents. And one thing is that everybody has fun. That's really important on this show, in this group. And I really appreciate everybody who's in the show and every single one of you who's been a part of Sherry's Playhouse, not just the people who are here now, but everybody who's been here the whole season, every single person, everybody who... And the thing is that people come on as an actor and then they contribute, like Everett did. He contributed helping with editing and narration and voiceover and stuff like that. We've had actors like, one was Nick Davich, who helped with music and sound effects, and Ty, who helped with editing and sound effects, and just people come in as an actor, but they have so many other talents, and I wanted to pay tribute to them tonight, too. I just want to thank you, everybody, and not just everybody who's here, but everybody. anyway, that was my little surprise tonight. I hope you like it.
Oh, yes.
That's really cool.
Yes.
And so the plays, it's going to be the last play of Sherry's Playhouse this season, and the last show chatting with Sherry will be the following week, and then I'm going to take a two-week hiatus, and then I'm starting again next year. So just want to say thank you for, oh, that was the other part. The amazing downloads and live listens. I don't know where you all are, but just consider you all hugged and kissed from all of us. Really, thank you. anybody want to say anything about that? Because it's extraordinary.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Like, they get thousands of listeners. Like, who are all you people?
Yeah.
They keep
tuning in to hear us, so that's really great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our little following. We don't know who you are, but we really do appreciate you.
We love you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So that's it. I want to thank everybody for taking part in our cast interview, and please join us this week on the 15th for this really, really amazing play, Mabel of the Anzacs, and thank you, Mary, for another great play, and thank you, cast.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. And thank you for chatting.
Good night.